The Ravens have spent the better part of a month touting that they are very unbeatable at home after having destroyed the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks. Not the case on Sunday. The Ravens fall to the Cleveland Browns in a bit of a shocker to some fans. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. As I mentioned, the Ravens fall to the division rival Cleveland Browns, muddy the AFC North division. We'll talk all about that big game. Talk about what's coming up on Thursday. We got the Cincinnati Bengals coming to town to almost finish off that division road, I guess, home streak, if you will, in the AFC. We'll talk all about that. We'll have Jason Garrison, who's a writer for the Cincy Jungle via SB Nation, come on the show and talk to us about what he expects to happen in that huge AFC North matchup coming up on Thursday. But first, the Ravens fall. The Ravens lose to the Browns. A lot of fans are a bit shocked. A lot of fans are a bit upset. But if you paid attention to the podcast, I mentioned it. It was going to be close. DTR wasn't going to be at the helm. It was going to be Deshaun Watson. The Ravens had their work cut out for them. Trust me. I mean, the Browns had just beat the Arizona Cardinals last week, shut them out. So you knew the type of defense that was going to come into Baltimore. It was going to be a fight. It was going to be a dogfight. It was going to be a battle. And it was. But things didn't go quite the way Ravens fans had hoped. And before we get started talking about the game and analyzing what went down on Sunday, let's really sit back and talk a little bit about what's been the narrative that's been pushed around since that game ended. There's some people out there, fans, pundits, analysts, writers, who believe that the Ravens team, that they're not to be trusted. That this game proves that anything can happen with this team, no matter how talented, no matter what they've shown on the field these past 10 games. I don't trust the Ravens. That's the narrative. That's what people are pushing. I couldn't disagree more. Now, we're going to talk about the loss and my thoughts about why the Ravens ended up losing to the Browns. But before we get to that, let's just talk about the season as a whole so far. The Ravens are 10 games in. It's a 17-game season, meaning they've got 7 games left. The Ravens are 7-3. 7-3 in 10 games. That means they've won 70% of their games. There's only so many teams in the National Football League that could say that. The Chiefs just lost to the Broncos. The Dolphins haven't looked their best. The Jaguars just got spanked by the 49ers. The Bengals, who we'll see here on Thursday, just lost to the Houston Texans, a team that the Ravens beat in week one. Are they not to be trusted? Should fans be concerned about those teams as well? Because those teams that I listed, those are all the AFC teams. Am I missing any team that could possibly be in line to win a Super Bowl? Those are the teams that are going to be potentially playing in Las Vegas in February. Each of them losing games that they really shouldn't have, albeit the Jaguars. I mean, the 49ers beat the crap out of them, but I think that was to be expected. I think with the addition of Chase Young, the 49ers team was rolling. I'd give them some slack. But to that point, these teams are losing games, just like the Ravens. Did any of them lose by 2 points against the number one defense in the National Football League? No. Did any of those teams lose against a team that was fighting to make a name for themselves? Maybe the Texans against the Bengals, but for the most part, no. The Ravens, I trust them. To make a long story short, I trust them. The Ravens wins. Houston Texans, as we just mentioned, they're possibly fighting for a playoff spot. The Browns, the team that the Ravens just lost to, they beat them 28-3 in week four. The Bengals, the team that they'll see on Thursday, the Ravens spanked them. The Lions, the Seahawks, blown out by 4 or 5 touchdowns. The Titans, who look good in the Will Levis, but, you know, they're taking a step back. And the Arizona Cardinals. So, of those 7 teams, 5 of them are potentially making the playoffs. That's huge. The Ravens' only losses came against the Colts, who I believe will be fighting for a playoff spot as well. The Browns, who they just lost to on Sunday. And the Steelers, who are 6-3 for God knows what reason. You want to talk about a team that shouldn't be winning? That's that. The Steelers should not be winning. They're being beat in every statistical category against their opponent and still finding a way to pick up the win. I think Ravens fans want to be the Steelers. You want to win close games? You want to win games you shouldn't? You want to close out victories? And in the process, pull out a product that's definitely not going to be championship material? You want to be, oh, we're a tough team. We can win any game we want to. As long as we have a lead, we can close out games because we're the Ravens. That's what you want to be? No. I want to look at a team who's talented from top to bottom, from the quarterback down to the kicker, who can put up 40 points on you if they wanted to and hold you to 7 if they wanted to. Yeah, there are going to be games where you lose. The Ravens have had a propensity. Did I use that word right? Propensity? Sure. The Ravens have a propensity of losing games that they should win. Yes, I'll admit it. This season, they lost to the Colts and the Steelers. Two games where I believe they beat themselves more so than the other team beat them. But this is not that game. The Ravens didn't beat themselves. The Browns beat the Ravens in the trenches. In the first half, the Ravens looked really good. But the defensive front of the Browns and the offensive front of the Browns wore the Ravens down in the trenches over time. The Ravens coulda, shoulda, woulda run the football more effectively, but they couldn't. The defensive front was too much. And although Pro Football Focus says that Lamar was only pressured 7 times, it felt a lot more than that, right? Za'Darius Smith, Myles Garrett, they had something to say about that. They made sure that life was tough for Lamar. There may have been some plays where Lamar assumed that pressure was coming. That's how much Lamar had to take in week 10. Not to mention the Ravens were without their starting right tackle. Ronnie Stanley went down late in the game. It was tough sledding for the Ravens. So this narrative that the Ravens are not to be trusted, that they can't win close games, that they can't close out games, it's ludicrous. Why? The Ravens just beat the Bengals recently in a close game. The Cardinals was a game that could have went the wrong way if the Ravens didn't close things out. So what are we talking about here? Take the loss. There are things that the Ravens could have done better, yes. But to sit here and push them into a category that they can't win close games, that they're not to be trusted, that come playoff time, the Ravens are going to be up 3 scores and I'm still going to be nervous because I'm not sure which Ravens team is going to show up. Be nervous because if the Ravens are up 3 scores and they lose, they're gone. The playoffs are done. Their season is over. Be nervous because if the Ravens make the playoffs, they're going to be playing teams that have the capability of putting points up. The Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Browns that you saw, they're good teams. They're all capable of putting points on the scoreboard no matter what defense you have. It's an offensive league. Yeah, you're going to want the Ravens to shut teams down, hold them to 3 points, hold them to 7 points. That's not reality against these playoff teams. So I think Ravens fans need to take a step back, relax, breathe, be disappointed, but don't be stupid. The Ravens are going to be just fine. I trust the Ravens. I think they're the best team in the AFC. And if I see what I need to see from the Ravens against the 49ers on Christmas Day, I might boast them as the best team in the league. But I'm not going to sit here and judge the Ravens because they lost by 2 points against a division opponent who had a lot to prove. I'm not doing it. So that's my little spiel for Ravens fans, but let's get into the game. The Browns-Ravens game. It started off so good. Kyle Hamilton pick 6. You thought, uh-oh, more of the same. M&T Bank Stadium locked in. Not to be. The Ravens, over time, slowed down in the trenches. They got wore down. The hungrier team showed up. But there are things about the game that I liked. Keaton Mitchell, 30-plus yard touchdown run, making his presence felt. And things that I didn't like. Keaton Mitchell, nowhere to be found, following his huge touchdown run that really supposedly was supposed to set the tone for the game. Now, I'm not sure what John Harbaugh or Todd Monken or whoever's in charge of who goes out there on any given play is thinking. I will say this to give some fans some perspective. Keaton Mitchell was dealing with a hamstring injury prior to his emergence in the fantasy football world, if you will. Keaton Mitchell, coming out of college, wasn't known to be the greatest pass blocker. So there's some trust, a key word that we've been using a lot this episode, between the Ravens coaching staff and player in Keaton Mitchell. So we'll see. But I don't want to see three carries from Keaton Mitchell ever again. You're going to see a different Samuel Njoku on the Ravens Talk podcast if they see another game, win or lose, of Keaton Mitchell under eight carries in a given game. Get Gus Edwards his touches if you have to. Get him his touches. Get Justice Hill involved if you have to. Three or four carries here and there, whatever. But Keaton Mitchell is lightning in a bottle, literally. The Dolphins have a guy. Devin Achane, I think his name is. I think I'm mispronouncing his last name, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about. A running back who came out to the scene, blew up. The Dolphins loved what they saw. The fans loved what they saw, of course. He didn't see any less than eight touches after that until he got injured. And now he's coming back soon, hopefully, because he's in my fantasy team. And he's going to do big things. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect the Ravens to hold Keaton Mitchell to three carries after what he did the week prior. I just don't get it. And I'm sure that's not the main reason why the Ravens lost. In fact, I don't think that's the main reason at all. But it's a reason. Go with the hot hand. Isn't that what the Ravens have been about forever? Isn't that why J.K. Dobbins didn't get his touches? It's more of the same, I feel like. If you want to complain about some Ravens fans, this is it. This is it. Keaton Mitchell better not, using my Baltimore slang, better not come into week 11 and onward with less than eight carries ever again. That's dead. I wasn't very happy with the way John Harbaugh responded to questions about it on Sunday, but on Monday, he took some accountability and said, yeah, it's a trust thing, I'm assuming, with the coaching staff, not getting him out there. He believes he should have got more touches as well. And I'll take that. That's as close as we're going to get to an apology from John Harbaugh, I promise you. That's as close as we're going to get. So we take it. We take it for sure. But no mas. I don't want to see any more three carries for Keaton Mitchell, especially when one of those carries was a 30-yard touchdown. That just boggles the mind. As a head coach, I'm pretty sure John Harbaugh isn't really responsible about who's out there and who's not. I'm pretty sure he delegates that task. But as a head coach, you have to be aware about who's out there. And I think that Keaton Mitchell only had like nine snaps in the game. If he's going to be there for nine snaps, he better carry nine times. That's all you want from him. I don't want to see it anymore. It was so infuriating. Even when the Ravens had the lead. At halftime, he had two carries. And I was like, someone get this guy on the phone. He needs more touches. And when the Ravens started losing grip on the lead, when the Ravens started losing grip on momentum, you only give him one carry? Lord help me. That was so dumb. Dumb. But we move on. There were some injuries in that game that were not great. Marlon Humphrey was out there. Many fans, including myself, I was a little skeptical about having him out there considering that the Ravens are going to be playing the Bengals on a short week. And for all things considered, the Bengals do have a better passing attack than the Browns. But he was out there and he was effective until he wasn't out there. He got injured. He grabbed his ankle. There was speculation because it was a non-contact injury that he had ruptured his Achilles. A lot of Twitter doctors out there, a lot of social media doc experts predicting that he ruptured his Achilles. No. The Ravens are calling it a calf injury. Looks like he's going to be day-to-day, which means he's really week-to-week. He'll be back. That's the good news. He'll be back, and they'll need him for the playoffs. You notice the Ravens' defense was completely different without number 44 out there. Shout-outs to his podcast, Punchline Podcast, with Jack Sullivan. Pretty good show. But, man, what a scare for Ravens fans. After losing that game in that type of manner, to find out that your best corner may not be there for the rest of the season was a bit of a freak show. But he'll be out there. Ronnie Stanley, another guy, got his ankle rolled up on. A guy who seems to always find himself injured. You know, I mentioned on the podcast, I really don't go with the injury-prone route. It's a physical sport. People are going to roll on your ankle. You're going to get hurt sometimes. It happens. But man, this man finds his way into the injury report like flies on shit, if I'm being honest. I mean, good Lord. But he has a knee injury. It looks like he'll also be day-to-day per Harbaugh. I'm not so sure about him. We'll see. Hopefully he's back for the season. When he's been out there, he hasn't been consistent. When he's consistent, he's one of the most effective pass blockers in the NFL. When he's not consistent, he's a liability. We've seen a couple of strip sack fumbles because premier pass rushers got to the quarterback and broke things up before Lamar Jackson had a chance to make a play. But make no mistake about it, the Ravens don't have a better left tackle than Ronnie Stanley out there. So lots and lots of things to be concerned about on that front. The Bengals don't really have the pass rush that the Browns have, so don't expect too much in terms of disruption. But definitely a minus sign on the effectiveness of the offensive attack because of the loss of Ronnie Stanley for could be a few games. Could be a few games. Now, the good news is the Ravens play one game in 23 games and one game in 23 days, I should say, after their game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So there's a good chance that the Ravens could be at full strength when they return following that Chargers game. We'll see. They get like two byes. Good time to get healthy. The Ravens kind of like it like this. So we'll see. We'll see what the Ravens can come up with. The Ravens, of course, have a week 13 bye. They play the Chargers on the 26th after this Thursday game. We'll see. Good time to have a bye. But more about this game. You know, I'm trying my best to make heads or tails of it, to be honest with you. You guys heard me last week. I told you guys I expected the Ravens to win, but I knew it was going to be close. So there's some forgiveness on my part with some of the things I saw. The national media's, you know, they're back to their old tricks. Can Lamar Jackson be trusted? His turnovers are an issue, yada, yada, yada. Quarterbacks throw picks. Quarterbacks fumble. Maybe not to the rate of Lamar Jackson. I will say that Lamar Jackson does have a fumbling problem. Albeit some of that is because of exchanges between the running back or, you know, pass rush coming unexpectedly, but some of that has to fall on Lamar, right? I mean, we can't just absolve him of blame because he's a Baltimore quarterback, but quarterbacks turn the ball over as much as anybody. I'm not going to sit here and crucify Lamar Jackson for the game he had. Was it a great game? No. But the same can be said for a lot of people. So we'll see how Lamar Jackson responds, and it's really why I haven't pushed the agenda of, oh, the Ravens are in trouble, because I really want to see what they do this week. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, why I believe Thursday will be a great litmus test for me and should be a litmus test for the rest of the NFL fans and analysts alike about the way this Ravens team is going to move forward in 2023. When we come back, we'll have Jason Garrison on. He's a writer for Cincy Jungle via SB Nation. We'll talk about his Bengals. They just had a tough loss to the Texans. Somebody's going to bounce back with a win, and somebody's going to lose their second straight game. Tough as the AFC North. We'll be back soon on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravenstock Podcast. As I mentioned earlier, we have with us Jason Garrison, who's the writer for Cincy Jungle via SB Nation. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a tough 24 hours for Ravens and Bengals fans. Both teams lose, and we're heading into Thursday on a short week, and one of these teams are going to bounce back, and the other one's going to start a losing streak.
It's been a tough 24 hours. It was knowing how important the Ravens game was on Thursday Night Football, coming into the Texans game, it seemed like a trap game, and I'm not saying that's what it was, because the Texans are going to be good. It was tough. It's been tough to swallow.
Yeah, and the Bengals come in, they started off slowly, they usually do, and they finally pick things up like they often do. And the Bengals had a great shot to close the gap like the Browns did. Unfortunately, they fall short, but they have a great opportunity this Thursday to pick up the win. Do you have any sense of what the Bengals, I should say, are thinking as far as game planning is concerned going into this game? Because the Ravens, notorious for having a great defense, just gave up 33 points against the Cleveland Browns team, who I believe has an inferior offense as opposed to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, you know, the offense hasn't been consistent. But the game plan, as far as I'm concerned, should be consistency. And that's just, I mean, not that Joe Burrow was bad on Sunday, but it's not consistent football. You know, they'll go on a drive where they look like they did over the last couple of years, you know, going to the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have three or four drives where they look like trash. Like they punted five consecutive drives against the Texans. Oof. So consistency on offense is key. I think they need to run the ball more. Joe Mixon averaged, I think, like 4.5 yards per carry or something like that yesterday. Mm-hmm. But he only rushed the ball 11 times. And it's not like the Texans jumped out to some huge lead. The Bengals were playing with the lead the majority of the game. They just didn't run the ball for some reason. So they got to do that, you know, keep the defense honest a little bit. And then the bad thing is defense. Trey Hendrickson, the Bengals' premier pass rusher, he's not going to be playing. He hyperextended his knee at the very end of the game against the Texans. When I say he's not going to be playing, that's an assumption for me. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll be playing. They're saying it's day by day, but you know, I think that's coach speak for I don't think he'll be playing. Just unfortunately, it's a quick turnaround. Sam Hubbard, the other defensive end, has already been ruled out, I think. So they were not able to rush the passer last week against C.J. Stroud, and they're going to be down Trey Hendrickson probably. But if they can figure out a way to make Lamar Jackson uncomfortable without letting him out of the pocket, you know what I mean? Like, right. Close it like a net around him, then they have a chance. But if they can't do that, Lamar's going to do what C.J. Stroud did, which is pick him apart.
Yeah, and the Ravens are dealing with injuries of their own. I'm not sure if you know, but Ronnie Stanley, their starting left tackle, got his ankle rolled up on his knee, I should say. So he's likely not playing in this game. They had Patrick McCurry, who's already their backup tackle in the game at right tackle. But there's a chance he could move to left tackle if their right tackle comes in, players on Thursday, which I believe what their plan was. So those guys not being active may not be the death sentence that it normally would be. But we'll see, because the Bengals, even though their defense may not be up to the snuff of the Browns, they've still given the Ravens trouble in the past. And I think that there might be more of that on Thursday than we think. But let's move back to the last meeting, because the Bengals, I believe at that time, Joe Burrow was still a bit injured, still dealing with that calf injury. He's now playing without any discomfort, I would say. You're saying that they're inconsistent. The Ravens are also very inconsistent. Do you think that the Ravens, well, I'm not saying the Ravens, the Bengals run game will be able to get going? The Browns had some success. I know you mentioned that the Bengals weren't rushing the ball as much with Joe Mixon as you would like, but do you think, given the Ravens' prowess to stop the run, that the Bengals still have a chance to make those moves in the run game?
I mean, it's possible. I think the best thing for them to possibly do for the offense, just to get it going, would be to get the ground game going. it's just whether or not they can do it. I mean, last week, the numbers were on their side as far as yards per carry. And it looked like it was working. They just didn't do it. So it's just going to be whether or not they are willing to try or not. Because obviously right now it's what they're doing doesn't work all the time. I hope it does. I don't know. I mean, you said the Browns kind of got it going, but that's the Browns thing. You know, that's a power running football team.
That's true.
You know, I just don't know. I don't know. I hope they can, but I'm not going to hold my breath because part of me thinks that it hasn't really worked very well for them in the past. And the other part of me thinks they just don't want to do it anyway.
Yeah, and it's hard to blame the Bengals sometimes for the lack of willingness to run the ball when they have those stud receivers. I'll tell you right now, right. The Ravens fans are terrified, whether they like to admit it or not, of Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins. I know T. Higgins is possibly not playing or probably won't be playing on Thursday, but right. They have huge weapons on the outside. Ja'Marr Chase is notoriously giving Ravens fans and the players alike fits. How would you assess his connection with Joe Burrow this season? It looks like they're getting things going. I think I saw a play where Ja'Marr Chase caught an 80-yard touchdown pass. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's insane. He came in, Ja'Marr Chase came into this game. He hurt his back at the very end of the Bills game. He came in less than 100%. He still had 125 yards and touchdown. And it was kind of a light day for him. What he and Joe Burrow, when it comes to like their wavelength and the way that they think and stuff like that, it's almost like they use the same brain. I mean, it's nuts. Even when Joe Burrow cannot connect with anybody else, as was the case early in the season with T. Higgins, he and Ja'Marr have always been fine. So, and it isn't just, I mean, Ja'Marr has given the Ravens fit. It isn't just Ja'Marr. A.J. Green gave the Ravens fits for years until he left and Ja'Marr came in. But, you know, the Ravens and the Bengals are familiar with each other. They play each other, you know, three times last year, twice so far this year. It's one of those things I'm kind of expecting this game based on the injuries and stuff like that to be just a ugly, low scoring, whoever screws up the most loses. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. AJ Green went crazy on the Ravens a couple of times, cost him a playoff spot. It's tough, but just you mentioning the chemistry that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow has, I'm sure it gives Ravens fans all types of jealousy because the Ravens have been clamoring for something like that on their side of the ball for years. But it's definitely cool to watch. As a fan of football, I love watching those two play because it just seems like they're always in sync. And that could cause the Ravens some trouble down the line. So you mentioned it. You mentioned that you think it's going to be an ugly game potentially. Are there like one or two keys in this game that you're looking out for, even though it's a Thursday night game in a short week?
Yeah, I think the big thing anytime you're going to play the Ravens is you have to figure out what you're going to do with Lamar Jackson. If you just send a ton of pressure out of him and he's able to escape the pocket, he'll kill you. If you let him sit there and just play pitch and catch with receivers, he'll kill you. So you got to be able to rush the passer, but like in a controlled way. So if they can do that and keep him in the pocket, but still make him uncomfortable where he can't escape and design coverages, I think that they can make it a low enough score game where the Bengals the Bengals offense is capable of putting up however many points they want to score. It just depends on what version decides to show up on Thursday. So if they can put up, 24, I think they can win with a great defensive performance, but there's a lot of injuries going on. So I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think the Bengals have the potential to put up as many points as they need to, want to, have to. It's gotten them pretty far in the playoffs the last couple of years, and if the Ravens aren't careful, it could be trouble for them again this season. Well, thank you so much, Jason, for joining us, and getting you on a short week. I appreciate you joining us. Let the folks know at home where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, I am one of the writers on CincyJungle.com, which is SB Nation's Cincinnati Bengals site. And then I'm the one of the hosts for Three and Out, which is a show on the Orange and Black Insider on YouTube and anywhere you can find podcasts. So.
That's awesome. I appreciate it. I love listening to AFC North podcast because it gives me a good idea of where their head's at going into the season. And this is the big season where this division is loaded. All four teams could possibly make it to the Super Bowl. Maybe not the Steelers, but definitely the Browns, Bengals, and Ravens could possibly make it to the Super Bowl for sure. Let me say this
about this game in particular, with both coming off a loss. And I know that the Ravens, 7-3, is that right?
Seven and three.
You know, you got major upper league. Obviously, the Bengals still control their own destiny. They only have four losses. If they win out, they'll probably win the division. Same for the Ravens. But I just get the sense that this game right here is going to be when the final week is done, when week 18 is over. I have a feeling that this game right here is going to be very important for both teams.
I agree completely. In fact, I'm very surprised this wasn't the last game of the season that it has been, because oftentimes that's been the case. But thanks for joining us.
I'm not surprised it's a primetime game, but I don't like the fact that a game this important is on a short week.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody would agree with you on that.
Yeah, give me an NFC West team on a Thursday night football. That's preparing a whole week for a division team, right?
Yeah, John Harbaugh. I promise you, he does not. He's not happy about it. I'm sure Zach is the same way. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But you got to do what you got to do. Do you guys have a bye week after this? No, you guys already had your bye.
No, we've already had the bye week. We had the bye week 3 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
Then we had the Niners, and then we had the Bills, and then Texans, and now. So, I mean, they have to get healthy. They don't have breaks now.
Yeah, so they don't. The Ravens have a bye week in 2 weeks, so they get the tall end. Yeah.
Very jealous. This is a huge game. It's a big game. If the Bengals win, I have this sense that this will be the thing that, you know, the motivation, you know, they were 5-4 in the last 2 years, and then went on at this point in the season, they got hot. Went on a big tear and took them to the Super Bowl in the AFC Championship game.
I didn't even realize that. You guys were 5-4 last year.
5-4 last year and the year before that. So whether that happens again remains to be seen. They don't look the same this year as they did last year, especially on offense. But Joe Burrow can do miraculous things. We all know that.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful that this is where they turn it on. In the past, they have. But the Ravens are, you know, Lamar's healthy. They're the real deal.
Yeah, and you guys got lucky having Tyler Huntley as the quarterback you guys went up against this year. So it'll be interesting. It will do you guys some good, especially for the fans, if you guys were able to pick up this win against Lamar Jackson, because that's the narrative that's been going out. But I don't know. It's going to be them Bengals, boy. I'm just – the Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow connection is one thing that you can't – I feel like it's hard to game plan for, because they can just – turn it on, and there's nothing you can do about it.
They can't. They can just do wild stuff. They can do the touchdown that Ja'Marr Chase scored was off script. Joe Burrow escaped from the pocket, and of course that he and Ja'Marr just knew where Burrow would want him to be, and that's where, you know, it was perfect.
It was beautiful.
So I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be a fun game. You know, the Ravens are looking, I think, for a measure of revenge for that playoff game, considering that they barely lost and Lamar wasn't playing. So, and the Bengals backs are against the wall right now. I feel right now that this game is one of those things where it's a do or die. If they get down to 500, I think the AFC North window is closed for them. And I think that they'll have a hard time pushing for a wild card spot. I do.
And if I feel like you guys have the hardest strength of schedule moving forward.
Second toughest schedule. Second toughest schedule moving forward. So, I mean, we still have the Steelers twice, the Browns once, the Ravens obviously on Thursday Night Football. We still have the Chiefs. We still have the Jaguars on the road. I think we have the Colts. I feel like I'm missing one, but either way, that's a tough schedule.
That's crazy.
All of those are. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Everyone there except for one of them, I think, is a winning team.
Yeah.
So, if they get back to the Super Bowl this year, even back to the AFC Championship, it's not because they didn't earn it.
I'm about to say, they definitely earned it. They make it.
Yeah. So right now, the Bengals, to me at least, they feel like a volcano. And Thursday is when we're going to find out if they're going to erupt or if they're going to wait till next year. Ooh. That's how I feel.
Wow. So this is a big game. Okay. Well, you set the tone.
Big game in my mind.
I appreciate it. Well, thanks for joining us again. I'll be sure to listen to your stuff this week because I want to get all the information I can and going into this game. It seems like this is going Absolutely. To be a do or die. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, Jason. When we get back, we'll have our closing thoughts. We'll have our predictions for what's going to happen in week 11 on a Thursday night football game that has huge playoff implications. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. That was Jason Garrison. He's the writer for Cincy Jungle via SB Nation, and he definitely set the tone for this game. I mean, I'll admit, I wasn't thinking to that extent, but that's just because the Ravens are at the top of the division. The Bengals are at the bottom, and they're clawing, fighting to stay relevant in that division. He mentioned that if the Bengals don't win on Thursday, then they're likely looking to get a wild card spot because the Bengals, the Browns and the Steelers are, they're fighting. They're at three losses, and he thinks it's going to be tough. I don't think so for the Bengals. I'm very high on the Joe Burrow connection. I think that the Browns have made themselves relevant as the number two team in the division. And Browns fans probably will say they're the number one because they beat the best team, but that's not how things work. The Ravens are still number one. But I think the Bengals, if they can get their act together, they're getting the benefit of the doubt because of what we've seen the last two seasons. And there hasn't been much drop off in talent since that championship run that fell short a couple of years ago. So I'm not 100% certain that the Bengals are going to be out of the playoffs or out of the mix for the division if they lose this game. It's going to be tough, for sure, if they do lose. But I'm not ready to count the Bengals completely out. I'm ready to count the Steelers out. And we'll get to that in January when the Ravens go up against them. There's no way that can last with the Steelers. There's no way. They're an inferior team in every sense of the word, except they have a great defense and a phenomenal head coach. That's it. Their quarterback stinks. Their offense stinks. Their fans stink. Had to throw a little jab out there. But for the most part, they're not going to be in the thick of things when the playoffs come around. I think the Ravens, Browns, and Bengals are going to be it. When the season first started, I did say the Steelers were going to be number two, but their offense has shown me nothing to believe that's the case, really. Moving forward as we are in week 11 of the season. Yes, they're 6-3. I don't buy them. No, I do buy the Bengals. But let's talk about it. We talked about it with Jason. What I think is going to happen. The Ravens have to bounce back. The Bengals don't have the pass rush or the front seven of the Browns. They just don't. The Ravens are going to be without Ronnie Stanley. Now, I'm just going to surprise. He's not playing. They did a walkthrough on Monday. He didn't practice. Neither did Marlon Humphrey, so I don't expect those two to play. So I believe Patrick McCarr is going to be moved to the left tackle spot, and they'll take it from there. But Jason already said their pass rushers aren't going to play on Thursday. It's a short week. They have to travel to Baltimore. The Bengals have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And you heard me. I'm beaming when it comes to those two. I'm very bullish on Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. They have a connection which I am so jealous of. I wish the Ravens had some semblance of that in their entire history. They don't. They may one day. They kind of had it with Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson early on, but the offensive attack didn't dictate them to have an explosive game as the Bengals have had with their philosophy. So that's the wait-and-see approach for Ravens fans. Maybe one day we'll have it. Maybe one day we won't. Who knows? I'm not holding my breath on that. But that's the dangerous part of the Bengals. They have Joe Burrow. They have Ja'Marr Chase. They have Tyler Boyd. They have Joe Mixon in the backfield. But their defense doesn't scare me. It shouldn't scare the Ravens. So what do I think is going to happen with the Bengals? Well, this leads me back to what I said earlier in the show. Are the Ravens to be trusted? Can the Ravens win games close? We're not going to find out this week, folks. I've teased it on my social media. I kind of teased it with my interview with Jason. Jason thinks it's going to be a close game because of the injuries. I'm predicting blowout. I'm predicting a blowout. I just don't think the Bengals have the team to match up with the Ravens. I mentioned it last week, folks. The Browns match up very well against the Ravens. They have the defensive front. They have a quarterback who can extend plays with his legs. move. I mean, he's a Walmart version of Lamar Jackson. That's not a diss on Deshaun Watson. That's just how excellent Lamar is as a runner of the football. But Deshaun has the ability to extend plays with his legs. And that's frustrating for defenses. That's why even though the Browns are the number one defense, the Ravens still put up 31 points. Yeah, you could say that one of it came from a pick six and another score came from a muffed James Prochet punt. But we're talking if, ands, or buts. Is that what we're doing? Are we fighting the notion that the Ravens have a bad offense because the special teams and defense made plays? No. The Ravens were able to have success against the number one Browns defense because Lamar Jackson is special. And so Deshaun Watson gets some credit because he was able to do things against the Ravens defense that no team has been able to do this season. So that pushes back to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. The Bengals don't have the defense. The Bengals don't have the pass rush. The Bengals won't have T. Higgins. That means the only person who's going to beat the Ravens are Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyler Boyd. Now, Jason mentioned that he wished that this wasn't a Thursday night game. I say the Ravens, if they had to choose an opponent to have a Thursday night game with, I think they'd choose the Bengals. Why? They're familiar with the Bengals. They know what the Bengals are all about, what they're going to do. They've played the team already, so that means game planning is going to be easier. So from a coaching standpoint, playing them on a Thursday night is favorable, especially if they're going to be at home. Now, do you wish you had more time against a team that's likely going to have huge, ginormous, gigantic playoff implications at the end of the season? Yeah, you're ready to play them on a Sunday, but you get Thursday, and there are some benefits. After this game, the Ravens will have one game in 23 days. They have the Chargers in 23 days. That's it. So they need to pick up this win. The tape says the Ravens should blow them out. That's my prediction. Would I be surprised if the Ravens and Bengals kept it close? Yes. Will I be surprised if the Bengals win? Oh, you better believe it. I'd be shocked. Again, the Ravens and Bengals, that's not a matchup that goes together, at least not this season. I was actually a little surprised the game was that close the first meeting. I think the Ravens are going to blow out the Bengals. Expect a 2-touchdown win. We'll see. Of course, we mentioned it with Jason. That Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase connection is magical. Even Mike McDonald's going to have a difficult time trying to stymie that connection. But that's it. To me, that's the name of the game. Stop them, you win. And right the ship. And then we'll return to the conversation, can the Ravens be trusted? Then we can return to the conversation, or is the Ravens the best team? Then we'll return to the conversation, is Lamar Jackson the best quarterback? Did he deserve that money? Is he a turnover machine? I want to hear those conversations after this win. I kind of teased it on my social media. If the Ravens blow out the Bengals, the media darling for some reason, then what? Then what's the conversation? I want to know. I want to hear it. Of course, this is all moot if the Ravens lay an egg on Thursday night, but based on the film I've watched, based on what I've seen from both teams, I don't see it. I do not see it. They just don't have the defense to stop Lamar. And that's going to be the name of the game. That's the matchup I'm going to be watching. Can the Bengals stop the Ravens? No, I don't think so. That's going to do us for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. I appreciate you guys for joining us. You mention it every week that the social media is blowing up. I appreciate you guys for joining. Appreciate you guys for being a part of the community. The Ravens play the Bengals on Thursday. It's going to be a long week after that. 10 days of wondering or celebrating about the Ravens' win or loss. And then we move on to Los Angeles. But Ravens are going to have to get their act together in a hurry against another Ohio team. Again, thanks again for joining us on the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'll see you next week.